April 28th, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Kaftet Amud Aleph. And let's go five lines from the bottom, two words before the end of the line, very briefly recounting, because we're going to continue it and finish that segment very quickly. If you recall, the Gemara was talking about this concept known as En To'anin Lamesit. If a person is misleading others, bringing them to Avodah Zarah, we won't help them in court. In other words, even if there's a claim that could be made, some sort of defense statement, we won't, as judges, as people who are able to aid in saving that mesit, we won't do so. Says the Gemara, where do we learn it from? Either from the fact that the Torah says, lo tahmol, lo techaseh alav, you're not supposed to have any compassion on the individual who does who's a mesit, that's what the pasuk says. Or alternatively, the Gemara said, we learn it from Nahash. What's Nahash? Nahash HaRishon, the first serpent in Gan Eden. How so? Well, after all, he misleads Hava to rebelling against God. We'll call that paramount to, tantamount to Avodah Zarah. And he could have defended himself, but doesn't. And God, in turn, doesn't defend him. In To'anin LaMesit. Says the Gemara, how could he have defended himself? That's where I pick you up. Two words before the end of the line, five lines from the bottom. May Hava Lele Meimar. What could the Nahash have, so to speak, defended himself in, well, it's not a death proclamation, but in the punishment, in the arur, which is going to be leveled upon him for misleading Hava. He could have said, says the Gemara, Divrei HaRav v'Divrei HaTalmid Divrei Mishoma'in. Right, if you recall what those words mean are, it's an incredulous question. I tell you to do something ridiculous. You know it's objectively wrong according to the Torah, according to the standards of ethics, of morality. I tell you to do it, and you go ahead and you do it, and you say, but it's not my fault, it's because you told me to do it. In such a circumstance, I say to you, you can't blame me. You should have known better. Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomein. You listen to me, the little guy, the student, so to speak, the servant of the master, or you listen to the master talk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an incredible day. Come on, give me a break. You weren't actually taking me seriously. You can't blame this one on me. I mean, it's the classic response, rebuttal to Eichmann, right? Eichmann claimed I was just following orders. He was one of the main SS officers in terms of the concentration camps. When he was brought to trial, his famous defense was, I was just being a good citizen and following orders. The response was, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishoma'in. There's basic standards of morality and ethics. In other words, no, but again, the claim to him is that's not a defense. You can't blame Hitler. Right. It's on you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Our response to him, he couldn't have won. It's again, his claim is I was just following orders. The response is whose orders? Hitler's orders or common morality or God's orders? You can't blame this on Hitler, so to speak. Do you follow? So too. Right? You're right. So we claim to him, you can't blame it on Hitler, and you know, so this is on you. That's how we say, En shaliach lidvar avira.
But after 120, Hashem's going to tell us, we said we listen to the rabbis.
So you have to find the right rabbis. What do you want me to tell you?
Saying,
I mean, yeah, you are right, but again, it has to be, and if you could, and again, if you could make the claim, I was naive. This is what I thought was God's word. Okay, that's one thing. Over here, it's the Nahash going against the objective word of God. You can't make such a claim. If it's objective, if it's clear cut, that's when we make this claim. Alternatively, if you made the mistake, okay, you made the mistake. You see, Tosafot asked a little bit of a different question. Tosafot says, so then we never have a mesit. You never have someone who's misleading others because they can always claim, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomein. The Torah says that if someone misleads others to do Avodah Zarah, put them to death. You know, unless the guy's a yo-yo and doesn't know to say Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomein, he should never be responsible. Hitler should never be responsible. Lehavdil. It's always the guys underneath him who are responsible. No, but he was the mastermind. So what? They should be able to say, objectively speaking, if I'm clear and transparent, says Tosafot, and we'll take a look at the top left-hand corner, Tosafot, Vim Tomar, Im Ken, Kol Mesit, Yipater Atzmo Be'ota Ta'ana. Every mesit should be able to exempt himself with that. V'yesh lomar d'davka nahash shelo nitztava shelo lahasit v'lo ne'enash el lefi sheba'at takala al yado. Ava mesit shenitztava shelo lahasit nimsa keshe mesit over. Do you follow what Tosafot says? Tosafot says the claim is only a solid claim before you're commanded not to be a mesit. Right? In other words, my claim is after I misled this person, oh, I didn't think they were going to listen anyway. They shouldn't have listened. That's a good claim on that end. But were you allowed to be doing that? You weren't allowed to be doing it. The Torah says, don't mislead him. No, but I didn't think he was going to listen to me. Doesn't matter, but the Torah says, don't mislead him. Then Ahashu was never, quote unquote, commanded, don't mislead, don't bring them to Avodah Zarah. Okay, he could have made that claim and won the case. Alternatively, Hitler can't win the case. No, but I didn't think they were going to listen. So what? You're not allowed to be telling them to do it. That's the response of Tosafot.
Is this really
Messi? So, yeah, again,
he didn't cause it to do Avodah Zarah.
But is it at that time period, when you have one command from God, fundamentally, one negative prohibition, let's call it, and you went against it to a certain extent, you're right, and we're extending this, but to a large extent, that is rebellion against God in its most stark fashion, Avodah Zarah. We're a little bit broadening it, but not too much, because that is the one thing that shows your obedience to God. And instead, Vatere ha'isha ki toba etz lema'achal, and it's nehmad la'inayim. In other words, instead, she plays the autonomous role, which is really the mistake of Eretz Hadat. When it comes down to it, this point has been made. Fundamentally, what's the mistake? It's the eating, or quite simply, it's the disobedience. It's the fact that I'm autonomous. I make the rules. You don't make the rules, God. You don't see what's tov and ra. I determine that. Right. That's Avodah Zarah. All right, says the Gemara onward. Amar Chizkiyah, finishing this up with a nice musar. Amar Chizkiyah, minayin shekol ha-mosif gorea. That's a great statement. So how do you know that sometimes, oftentimes, the more you add is the more you end up subtracting? It sounds like a good riddle. What does that mean? Shene'emar, amar Elohim lo tochlu mimenu v'lo tiga'u bo. Period. Cites a pasuk from the conversation between Hava and the Nahash. What does it have to do? That God said, don't touch or eat this tree. It goes like this. Rashi fills in the gap. Nahash says it to Hava. Well, what does it have to do with anyone who adds on more, takes away? Rashi fills in the gaps like this. He says, listen, look at the sivui, look at the command of God. Don't eat from the tree. Adam and Hava, as Hava speaks to the Nahash, she says to him, you know, this tree, God said, don't eat it and don't touch it. Don't touch it. Who said don't touch it? It appears as if Adam and Hava built some sort of siag. They built a geder. They built a way of distancing themselves from eating. So in their minds, you're not allowed to eat, nor are you allowed to touch. According to the Midrash, which Rashi cites, the Nahash then pushes Hava, she touches the tree, and he says, you see, the same way you touch the tree and you didn't die, so too, if you eat from it, you won't die. But of course, the reason she didn't die or she didn't have pronouncement of death upon touching it is because it was their own enactment, not God's enactment. Kol ha-mosif gorea. The more you add to something, it's the claim against more is better, right?
Does it create a problem, though, for mitzvot de rabbanan?
For rabbis. For rabbis. You could say it straight. Doesn't it? The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that Anshe Knesset HaGedolah say that you're supposed to do, they said three fundamental things, right? In the Masoret of the Torah, Moshe Kibbel Torah Mesinai, Sarah Yahshua, Yahshua's getting so forth. It makes its way to Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. What are they? You have to be metunim bedin. Okay, that's easy enough. You have to be careful and exact and hesitant when you judge. Ha'amidu tamidim harbe. Make sure you proliferate. Students have many. And lastly, asusi agla Torah. Kol ha-mosif gorea. In fact, and here's the craziest part. I had to check this up to make sure I wasn't deluding myself. I realized this morning. Is Pirkei Derbi Natan, Avot Derbi Natan, excuse me, Avot Derbi Natan, which is the later rendition and additions to Pirkei Avot. Avot Derbi Natan is several hundred years later. It's composed different traditions with regards to those Mishnayot in Pirkei Avot. So it's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. It has that statement. In Avot Derbi Natan, it says, you want to know where you have the greatest paradigm example of Siag LaTorah? What do you think it is? It's the fact that Adam and Chava decided not to touch it. Not only not to eat from it, it's an amazing thing. Asus Siag LaTorah, what we're supposed to be doing as communities, as leaders, as individuals, we are following Adam and Chava. The Gemara says, Kol ha-mosif gorea. So you have to answer, and I saw one of the Mefarshim says something along these lines, and I make this point very often, is it needs to come, the siag, the geder, needs to come with education. Yeah. Which means to say, Adam and Hava, perhaps, or at the very least, Hava. By the way, this Gemara is in Rashi al HaTorah. So I've taught this many a time when I teach Bereshit, because it's an important statement. And that is, you need to know why you're doing what you're doing. If you are under the impression that this is a mitzvah min HaTorah, that this is God's word, you'll fall prey to mistakes. When it comes to Hilchot Shabbat, for example, there are many things, midrabanan, shevut, the whole concept of shevut, which means the rabbis told you rest a little bit more, that's many rabbinic enactments, that you're not allowed to do X, Y, and Z, midrabanan. Mukse is midrabanan, the whole construct of mukse. My children, I get very angry when they say, you can't do this on Shabbat because it's mukse. It's not mukse. It's isu midoraita, it's one of the melachot. Mukse is something different. Anyway, but you need to be aware of that. For example, there are many circumstances wherein we say, if it's a shvut, it's shvut, b'makom mitzvah, it's mutar. Apsik reshe delanicha le'an, an isu derabanan mutar. I'm speaking another language, but what I'm telling you is, in these contexts, you need to be sensitive to where that law comes from. If you're aware it comes from the rabbis, it's true, you got to keep it under regular circumstances. But in pressing circumstances, we find ways to permit if it's necessary based on the situation. That in turn is the kol ha-mosif gorea. If you're mosif in a haphazard way, you just have laws upon rules without an education that is amended to it, that's tethered to it, and then you make a lot of mistakes and you mislead people and people have the wrong understanding and the wrong hashkafa and so forth. That, in my mind, is the message. More than anything, it's not just more is not better. Sometimes more is better. In many contexts, it's better, but it's got to be more in the appropriate fashion. Okay, the Gemara gives two other examples of where we learn kol hamosif gorea. Rav Misharshia amar mehecha amatayim vahetzi. The Torah, in my bar mitzvah parasha, my son's bar mitzvah parasha, describes the measurements of the Aron. And it says the Aron was amatayim vahetzi orko. Ama is a foot and a half. Amatayim means two amot. So what's that? A foot and a half times two is three. Vahetzi, half is, half of one and a half is, three quarters. All right, add it all up. What are we dealing with? Three plus four and a quarter. Okay, did I get that right?
Four, three and three quarters.
Three and three quarters. Okay, whatever. Yes, three and three quarters. Okay, so that being the case, what does that have to do with? Kol HaMosif Gorea. As a matter of fact, it was a very small box. Says Rashi, take away the aleph from the front of that word, amataim. What does it read as? Mataim, 200. By adding on the letter aleph, we took away 198 amot. Right, it was amataim, if without the aleph, kol ha-mosif gorea, just a single letter. When added on, added so much, or, you know, whatever, took away some.
You wouldn't know if it's an amanat.
What's that?
You wouldn't know if it's an amanat. If you took away the aleph, mataim what?
You know, it's a derasha, John. It's a derasha. Alternatively, Rav Ashi Amar, from the following pasuk, ashte esre yiriot. The pasuk is talking about the yiriot in the Mishkan, and it says there were ashte esre, yiriot are the curtains. Ashte esre means 11. If you took away the ayin from ashte esre, it says shete esre, it says 12. All right, so sometimes by adding the letter, the ayin, you turned it into 11 instead of 12. By adding, sometimes we're really subtracting. Listen, we know this is all relevant in our own lives. I know people say it about exercise even, and it's a good excuse for me. But some people say if you over-exercise, you run your body down. That's not to say you shouldn't be exercising, but sometimes kol ha-mosif gorea and so forth with everything. We know it about everything. If you do something in excess, in an inappropriate, uneducated fashion, kol ha-mosif gorea. No, but it's a positive, objectively speaking, positive action or approach or mode or method. Yeah, but in the proper amounts and constructs and structure. Okay, says the Gemara onward. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela de'amar meshateh ani becha. Back to our issue. So our issue that we were discussing earlier is a circumstance wherein I admit, if you recall, it was Joey admitting to me yesterday, so we'll keep it that way. Joey's admitting to me that he owes me $100,000. Now, he admits to me, and it's even in the presence of two witnesses. But afterwards, I say, okay, Joey, pay up. You admit it. He says, no, mishateh ani becha. I didn't want people to know that I'm a very wealthy guy. So when you said that, I was willing to say, that's right, I owe you $100,000, I owe you $1 million. This is what people say, if the money he has in the bank, it's not actually his, he owes it to others. Rashi will say later on explicitly, this is because of Ayin Hara. Rashi uses those words. Joey doesn't want people looking at him, he doesn't want anything happening to him as a result of this knowledge of others. So he admits to the fact he doesn't actually mean it. What if, when I come to collect the money from Joey, he doesn't say, no, the reason I said that was because Mishateh Ani Becha. I was joking around. I wasn't serious. So again, Amar Abaye Lo Shanu Ela De'amar Mishateh Ani Becha. The only way Joey is off the hook in paying me the $100,000 is if he makes the claim of Mishateh Ani Becha. Aval. However, if he alternatively says, Lo Hayu Dvarim Me'olam, we come into court the next day and I say, okay, Joe, yesterday you told me you owe me $100,000 in the presence of these two witnesses. I says, ma? No, you dvarim me'olam. Never happened. That's a lie. It's not true. I have two witnesses who say you said it. Maybe you didn't mean it, but you did say it. If he makes the wrong claim of lo ayu dvarim me'olam, we say in such a circumstance, hochzak kafran.
There's a difference between I was just joking and it never happened.
That's right. Just joking.
It's the same.
It's not. Just joking is describing what happened. You misunderstood it.
Right.
It didn't happen is reconstructing. Right. It's a lie. Hoksak kafran. We now say you have a hazaka. We assume with a good reason to think so and to know so that you're a liar. And as a result of being a liar, you're a liar on all. And as a result, you have to pay up that money. That, what's that? We know the witnesses are credible about what happened. It's that they're not credible about why it happened. We never didn't believe these witnesses, right? That's what the Gemara says. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Papa bereder Rava Habar Ada hache amrinan mishemed de Rava. The following is said in the name of Rava. Kol mile dekedi la dechire inshe. A little bit of a tongue twister, but kal mile all matters dekedi. Kedi in Aramaic, for one reason or another, means of nothing. Right, bichidi means with nothingness. All matters that are nothing, they're senseless, la dechire inshe, people don't remember. In other words, it goes like this. The counterclaim is, the reason Joey said in court the next day, 2 weeks later, a month later, whenever it was that I brought him to court and I say, remember you admitted to me? He's not lying when he says, lo hayu dvarim me'olam, that never happened. He doesn't remember it, and we don't expect him to remember it. Why don't we expect him to remember it? This was an insignificant thing. When he said, oh yeah, I owe you $100,000, he didn't mean it. It was in the moment. I said it. He's surrounded by people. He doesn't want to be looking like the rich guy. He'd rather, but so he says it. It was an insignificant admission. If it's admitting and it was a truthful thing, all right, of course he's going to remember it. The fact that he's claiming now in court never happened, we don't say, oh, you're a liar. You see, we caught you. We say, you didn't remember it because it was insignificant. And you'll, as a matter of fact, explain afterwards potentially, if I did say it, probably didn't mean it. It's that type of situation. As a result, the claim again of Rava is, even if you say, lo hayu dvarim me'olam, you are believed to the extent that you don't need to pay up. Why so? Kol mile, all matters, dikidi, of nothingness, of insignificance, la dechire inche. Continues the Gemara and tells us a few stories related to these halachot. Says the Gemara, hahu de'achmin le'edim le'havre bekilteh. There was an individual, ichmin. Ichmin means he hid. Eidim, of course, witnesses. And kilte. Kilta, oftentimes in the Gemara comes up. It's those old, Sharon, you like these beds. We talked about this once. It's those old style beds which have the, not even old style. I saw people in Jersey have, one of my friends has them in his house, right? It's those, the curtains over the bed. An Allenhurst thing, is it? Oh, is that so? All right, if you say so. So an individual, he puts the edim, and they're underneath that that curtain on the bed. So the fellow he's speaking to, we'll call him the nitba, the Joey Levy, he doesn't know there are witnesses there. Amar le manali biyadecha. I say, Joey, you owe me $100,000. By the way, you see over here, maybe it's mana, it's not matay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Amar le, this one's actually what happened, apparently, right? Amar le hen. So Joey says, yeah, sure. Yeah. Amar, I now say to Joey, ire ushchive, or ire veshachve lehavu alach sahadeh. Are you willing to have both those who are sleeping and awake as witnesses? In other words, we're in the house. It's early in the morning. It's late at night. Joey doesn't think anyone's awake. He doesn't think anyone's listening. But I say to him, hey, Joe, you willing to take as witnesses anyone who's around and might be listening, whether they're awake or sleeping? And you know, he thinks I'm playing with him. I don't know what's going on. But instead of saying yes, which is an easy response, he doesn't know there's anyone listening, he says, Amale lo. No. Oh, in other words, his claim is, I'm not serious about this. All right, what's the halakha in such a circumstance? Initially, he admitted. Afterwards, when I say to him, are you willing to accept anyone who's either sleeping or awake as witnesses? He says, no. Amar Rav Kahana, ha'amar le lo. Okay, says Rav Kahana. Joey responded, no. He responded, no, that's his making clear I wasn't actually serious about this. Meshate ani becha. Okay, another story. Ha'ud achmin aedim bekibra.
He admitted before the witnesses were sleeping.
No, they're awake. They happen to be awake, so but he doesn't know that they're there at all. If anything, he thinks they're sleeping.
So he admitted, but doesn't know that they're there, but said he wouldn't take that.
So it's,
no good.
So it's not much of a hidush for us, keep in mind, because we learned yesterday, not only does he need to know that the witnesses are there, yeah, he needs to furthermore appoint them. This story is not much of a hidush. In the scheme of these stories, we'll have a few in which we knew the punchline already.
Is someone entrapment? Trapping the guy, tricking him. So like, why should that even be?
That's why he's naive.
That's why he's not guilty. Yeah. That's why he doesn't have to pay. No, but obviously they're saying that if he says okay,
if he says okay, it'll be accepted.
No, decided.
I mean, he does. It's not. Is that? Would that be considered entrapment? I'm not forcing him to say anything, but I'm not forcing. I'm not forcing him to do so.
Okay,
first and foremost, if naive looks at Mishol, he's setting him up to sin. He's not sinning. I'm setting him up to tell the truth in front of witnesses. He doesn't need to say yes. There's no gun to his head. There's no threat. I don't know. All right, anyway, says the Gemara. It is certainly sneaky. If you thought that one was sneaky, what about this one? Your witnesses are in a grave, alive. And I'm speaking to Joey in a cemetery. Hey, Joe, you know, there's $100,000 you owe me. Amar lehen. He says, yeah, that's right. So now I say to him, Haye umete lehavu alach sahadeh. Are you willing to accept the dead and the live ones in this cemetery as your witnesses? Again, it's in our minds, I'm setting him up to say yes. Why wouldn't he say yes? And then we'll have to figure it out. Once he says yes, okay, did he really mean it? He didn't think anyone was actually around. But the fact that he says no now really reveals that he's not serious about this. He doesn't know there's anyone around. He certainly doesn't know there's anyone alive around. And nonetheless, amar le lo. Clearly, he wasn't serious in his initial admission. Amar bishimon ha amar le lo. Okay. Clearly, he said, no, I cannot collect. Amar avina v'itemar av papa shema mina meha ha. Says the Gemara that Rav Papa makes the following claim. We can, at the very least, from those two stories, deduce the following. Deduce what? That was somewhat straightforward. Had the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Sarich Shiomar Atem Edai, Lashena Ki Amar Love, Velashena Ki Amar Milve, Malve, Veshatik Love. He says, we can deduce the following. We saw earlier yesterday's Gemara that in the Joey Levy Avi Harari case, Joey Levy needs to appoint the witnesses. He needs to say, Atem Eidai, you guys are watching as I admit. Okay, that much we know. What about the following? I appoint the witnesses. I say, hey, Joe, you know these witnesses are here? And you say, nothing. But I appointed them. And then I say, Joe, you owe me $100,000. And you say yes. Is that sufficient that I appointed them and not you? Yes. Because had he not said no, we would have accepted those witnesses. But wait a second, he didn't know the witnesses were there. But just his silence means he's accepting of any witnesses I may have brought. The derasha, he goes, Ta'ama damar love lo. The only reason Joey won the case and he doesn't owe me the $100,000 is because he explicitly said no. Aval ishatik. Had he been quiet, what would the halakha have been then? Hachename? The halakha would have been, certainly he would have had to pay that $100,000, which I claimed he owed me. Okay.
He thought you were joking.
He thought I was joking?
He has to say something even though he
He has to say something. That's the derasha. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild to the extent that I don't even know there's witnesses. That's the claim.
You know.
Okay. All right, but it's money. And it's good money.
You should always deny it then until you have to go to court.
Correct. Well, that's the punchline.
Yeah,
says Jared, but he's joking around. Maybe you can make the claim then. Hahu, there was a fellow, says the Gemara, the Hava Karule, they used to call him Kab Rashu. Kab is a measurement, a somewhat large measurement. Yeah. Rashu, explains Rashi, is a reference to shtarot, documents in which you owe money, debts. So he was known as the pile of debts. That was his nickname. Sounds like the guy owes a lot of money. Amar, man masikbi, ela ploni uploni. So the claim, you know, I have this terrible reputation. Everybody's calling me the debt pile, the pile of debt documents. Not dead, D-E-B-T, right? Debt. And then I say publicly, why do you guys call me that? I only owe Eddie and Joey money. That sounds like an admission. I didn't need to say anything. I could have said, I don't owe anyone money. Atu, Joey and Eddie now come, tavu'uhu lidina. Kameder Rav Nachman. They now bring me to court. I say, publicly, he said on his own. Nobody forced him to say so. I only owe money to Joey and Eddie. Clearly owes us money. Can we collect? Amar Rav Nachman, Adam Asui Shelo Lehasbia Et Atzmo. Says the Gemara, a person, said Rav Nachman, a person will not satiate himself. In other words, a person, even in that context, will not admit to the money being theirs. I don't want to be known as the rich guy. Here's where Rashi says, Ayin Hara. I don't want people to know I have a lot of money. I'd rather them know that I owe two guys than I owe hundreds of guys, even though it's not true that I owe anyone, just so they don't say, he's a loaded guy. He's got all that money. So I wasn't serious, but you didn't need to say it. That's true, I didn't need to say it, but I wanted to cover myself. I didn't want that Ayin Hara. As a result, his admission over there as well is worthless. Hahu, says the Gemara, another fellow. Similar case. Dehavu karule. Instead of calling him the pile of debts, they called him Achbera de Shachiv Adinare. He's the rat or mouse, I think rat, right? Who lies on coins. What does it mean to be a rat who lies on coins? It means a person who doesn't use his money. Right, the rat, what does the rat need? It could put some straw underneath
it. He still has the first dollar he made.
There you go, Scrooge McDuck, if you will, right? Yeah, so he's a chef, if anyone knows that reference. The Shachiva Dinare, so he's the rat who's lying on the pile of coins. Kika Shachiv, as that individual was passing away. Amar, he says on his deathbed, Planya uplanya masku bi zuze. He says, you should know, Joey and Eddie, I owe them some money. And he mentions how much money he owes them. He's on his deathbed over here. It's not going to be his reputation going forward. It's not going to be his ayinara. He's on his deathbed. He knows he's dying. Batar de Shachiv, after he passes away, Atu tavi'inu la yorshin. Eddie and Joey come to the descendants, the relatives, the children of this fellow who was known as the rat who lies on coins. They bring him to court. They say, he admitted. We have witnesses on his deathbed. Atu le kamed Rabbi Ishmael b'Rabbi Yoseh. They come in the court of Rabbi Ishmael b'Rabbi Yoseh. What does he say to them? Amar lehu, says Rabbi Ishmael, in general, ki amrinan adam asui shelo lasbia dasmo. When would we say that the guy is just trying to cover his name and avoid that ayin hara? Hanemile, this is specifically true, mehayim, when he's alive. He doesn't want to be walking around known as the rich guy. Aval le'achar mita, after his death? La, there's no such thing. He doesn't care. And it was the fact that he says it on his deathbed, he's really telling the truth. Okay, so the descendants now have to pay up. The descendants have to pay Eddie and Joey. Apparently, dad was telling the truth. Par'u palga. So the descendants now pay half of it out, either just a little bit, just Joey's portion, or half to Joey and Eddie, whatever. And they're looking to collect the rest of the money. They don't know where it is or whatever it is, or they're just stalling. Okay. So now Joey and Eddie say, well, what's going on over here? You owe us the full amount. Your dad admitted it. We brought you to Beit Din. Beit Din said you owe us the money. Tava'inu lidina li'idach palga. They bring them to court. Eddie and Joey bring these descendants to court Le'idach, for the other palga, the other half of money that's owed to them. Atula kamidir bihiya, they come in front of bihiya this time. Amar lehu, says bihiya to them, keshem sh'adam asui shelo lasbiyat atzmo, kach adam asui shelo lasbiyat banav. The same way a person wants to avoid the ayin hara for himself, doesn't want people calling him the wealthy guy, and he'll lie. Hang on. Next line's in the Gemara. So too, he'll do so for his children. In other words, he'll say, I owe all that money just so his children don't have that name of the loaded individuals, the ones who everyone's looking at, the ones who define it accordingly, Ayin Hara is affecting. Well, that being the case, says the Gemara now, the descendants say, Rabbi Hayaf, that's your Pesach Halacha, Joey and Eddie, pay back. The money we gave you initially was wrongfully paid to you. We weren't supposed to be paying that to you. Rabbi Ishmael had that approach. We're going with Rabbi Hayaf. Amru Leh. Turn the descendants to Bihya and they say, Nezil v'nehadir, can we go and retrieve and take back that money? Can we redo or undo the initial court procedure and Pesach Din? Amar lehu responds to Bihya, Kivar hora zakir. The elderly, the Talmid Chacham, meaning Rabbi Ishmael ben Rabbi Yose, was already posek lahalacha.
Then why would Rabbi Ishmael posek half? Where did that come from?
No, he was never posek half. He was posek the full amount. They only paid half. That's
why would they only pay half? If he was posek,
I gave several suggestions. Either they didn't have it available, or they were stalling. Whatever it is, or they only paid one guy. They didn't like the other guy. Whatever it is.
But if
according to Rabbi Ishmael ben Rabbi Yose, they were supposed to pay the full amount.
Rabbi Ishmael says he was posek halakha, you have to follow his ruling. She should say you have to pay the full amount.
I understand. He says, listen, he was already posek and you did halfway on him. Truthfully, I think he was wrong. I think the halakha is you don't pay anything. Says Joey, this is strange. You're giving an in-between pesach? You think it's wrong what he said. Redo it.
Who's the higher of the two rabbis, though?
The Gemara doesn't make clear. I'm not certain.
Yeah.
It appears as if the fact that he's using those words, Kfar Horazakin, that it's Rabbi Ishmael.
Right.
If it's Rabbi Ishmael, then why aren't you paying the full amount? Because apparently Bihya doesn't think so. Think that's correct. So what's going on over here? The truth is the Gemara and Daflamid Gimal will talk about a Dayan Shata'a. It'll talk about a judge who made a mistake. We touched on this a little bit earlier. But you know what this reminds me of? Reminds me of two things. And again, you can't broaden this and apply this to all circumstances. And don't. But conceptually, it reminds me of two circumstances, each one which needs its own interpretation and discussion and classes on. But one story is a fellow told me about, he is close, with Chacham Yosef Rafu. So he said there was a student from one of the schools who went to Israel, got a little bit more religious, and he came to Chacham Yosef and he said to him, in my parents' household, I'm a little nervous about something. I'm not even getting into the details of what it was about, right? Something in my parents' household in terms of their dishes. What should I do? And Chacham Yosef, according to his understanding, whatever the circumstance was, said to him, X, Y, and Z, a certain leniency. This has gone back 40 years ago. So the fellow, the young man, goes and acts accordingly. He's talking to another one of his mentors, his rabbis from high school, and he tells him, this is what happened, this is what Chacham Yosef said. The rabbi says, that can't be. Can't be, it doesn't make sense. He would be posek lekula in such a circumstance, lenient. So he went to Chacham Yosef, and said, Chacham Yosef, this is what he's quoting in your name. He says, that's not what I said to him. He misunderstood me. I understood the circumstance. He misunderstood my Pesach Halacha. So he says, should I go and tell him? Should you go and tell him? I said, no. He got his Pesach Halacha. He got his Pesach Halacha, but it was the wrongful Pesach Halacha. It's an amazing story. It's a statement about Pesach Halacha, Pesach Halacha. Now, if, and I'm adding already, even though I told you I'm not giving classes on this right now, if it was wrong objectively, so then there's no question he wouldn't have said that, right? It's only if you're dealing with something that's shikul hadat. It could go this way, or it could go that way. You could be lenient and depend and base yourself on these poskim, or you could be stringent and base yourself on these poskim. You got a pesach halacha in that respect, said Chacham Yosef. He got one, and he's following it. So I think he should be mahmir. Okay, but he's following what he thought I said. It's an amazing story, though. It reminds me of, I read in a book about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein as well. He wrote a Pesach Halacha in Igrot Moshe. He wrote a Pesach Halacha on a certain matter, and he was posek one way. Then he had people who came in front of him and asked him an identical question, and he was posek differently. And one of his students, Rabbi Shurkin, who was next to him, said to him, but Rabbi, you wrote about this in your book, and you said differently. So maybe he said, I changed my mind. I said, maybe you want to write a new siman in your new book? He said, no. Elu va'elu divrei Elohim hayim. He said, but that's not your opinion. I said, but I'm explaining it now again. But there's a claim to be made that way. Now I believe this way. I'm not going to erase what I said initially. What I said initially, what I published, is truthful as well. It's a fascinating thing in general about halakha. That's about our appreciation of emet in this world. That claim, elu va'elu divrei Elohim hayim, is a hard-to-understand concept, which needs a lot of elaboration and deliberation and discussion. But at the very least, what you see in our Gemara is something along those lines. When something could be read and understood in two ways. Keep in mind, in our Gemara, it's different than those two cases. Our Gemara is even easier to explain. Our Gemara is dealing with what's the mindset of a person. It's a psychological appraisal, is it not? It's a question, would a person be nervous about that ayin hara on his children the same way he is about himself?
Besides the mindset, what about his knowledge of the halakha?
But again, there is no clear... The fellow?
Yeah, if he was very knowledgeable, knew what he was doing, versus...
Right.
Somebody who was very not knowledgeable at all, he said it just to dispel that he was rich.
I gotcha. I got it. Which
would they rule and say, no, he didn't know what he was really doing. He didn't realize that.
He didn't realize the ramification of those words.
His heir is money.
I gotcha. Which needs to be taken into account as well.
Right, so can it be taken into account?
Can and would.
Law of defense?
Can and would, but hard to determine on a case-by-case circumstance. Generally, what the rabbis will do in the Gemara is make assumptions about what the average guy knows. And so that would be. So Ricky adds to it, it's not only about my appraisal of his mindset, it's also about my appraisal of his knowledge of the halakha. Again, so that being the case, what we're dealing with in our Gemara is a question of shikul hadat, a question of what did he mean as he said that? Says Rabbi Ishmael X, says Rabbi Hiya Y. Who's right? I don't know. Says Rabbi Hiya, I think I'm right. Am I going to say Rabbi Ishmael's wrong and now take back that money? That much I won't. Kfar hora zakir. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.